Greetings to the board. Thank you all very much for coming, spending so much time on this and other Pacific issues via many, many hours of teleconference. I know it's difficult work, often thankless work. And unpaid work. And I thank you very much for contributing so much to this network and to this this project that we call Pacifica. I want to take a brief moment to note kind of how I got to here in Pacifica. I grew up in West Virginia, which is about 400 miles from the nearest Pacifica station where I grew up. And so it is kind of a curious thing as to maybe how I ended up in the network. In a place like West Virginia that's known for fairly grinding rural poverty and that's known for environmental devastation and that's known for mountaintop removal, in many ways it is kind of like an internal colony.
Cool.
It quickly can, if you're the type of person who tends to think about why things are the way they are in the world, growing up in a place like West Virginia can turn you into a fundamentalist or a Habermasian pretty quickly. And they don't really talk about Habermas much in school, but that's kind of the direction I went. Even in high school, it's easy for me to kind of recognize the power of media and the particular attractiveness of radio within that media. Radio has such a special quality to it that it is and can be the people's medium. All you have to do is be able to talk and to do good interviews and to care about things. You don't have to be able to write flowering sentences. You don't have to be able to operate a camera or any other particularly complicated equipment. The basics of radio can be done by many, many people, and that's really one of the things that makes it wonderful. In college, with the protests against the World Trade Organization in 99 and then the IMF in 2000, I was quickly turned on to this global justice movement that was going on at the time. And also pretty quickly, I began to realize how ineffective mass mobilizations can be without media presence, without media power. And so that real power to affect today's society does really draw from access to and control of the media. There have been movement presses for hundreds of years, and they've been those presses and that media always is engaged with social movements, the movement presses. And it's becoming more and more important to have media that do engage with movements like this. Because, and this is something I've come to realize too, is that it increasingly, media is not just sort of like something that complements people's experiences. It's not really anymore just something that people are reading about what's going on as sort of like something that sort of helps their experience, that ties in with their experience. More and more media is becoming their experience. And I think us being here and us working forward to bring new platforms to it is wonderful, and we should do great work with that. What draws us to radio? What really makes us come into radio? What makes us passionate about Pacifica, about what community radio is and could be? It's the programming. It's the programming that draws us into radio. I don't know exactly what drew you into radio first. It might have been a fantastic documentary you heard on Pacifica. Might have been some really good investigative pieces that broke the story first on Pacifica. Might have been a story that you heard here and you thought, no way that's true. And then like 6 months later, it's confirmed by everybody that was true. And that's why you're passionate about Pacifica. Or it might have just been the realization that there had to be something else out there, that there was like a void. And so you came and you realized and you found this station in your area, this network that was just tremendous, and you've been with it since. How are we doing at producing this type of programming that really draws us in? And a corollary to that, what kind of programming and content, formats and platforms will help us to make that kind of programming better? In my written report, I outlined my very broad vision for that. It's a little tricky to kind of outline a vision 3 months into a job, but I wanted to lay this out as something that we could perhaps move forward with in terms of looking at programming, really building this into a network, collaborating with all the players in the network and getting a lot of people involved in national production, making sure everybody's on board and really doing solid stuff that does kind of make some history at the same time. Serving our listeners, engaging our listeners, doing good work through media. and also then sort of building a reputation around the country and making a difference with it. I also want to sort of point to what Dave said earlier today. He, in his reading of Lou Hill, I think part of that vision that I didn't include in the report, but I think it's perhaps in the subtext, is that there should be freedom in radio, and that we produce that which is beautiful, good, right, and just. Because good and just education will lead people to good and just actions, should lead people to good and just actions. This weekend, I've been very encouraged by the spirit of cooperation exhibited by the program directors, the general managers, the last couple days of meetings, and also with the spirit of cooperation that the board seems to be supporting with and very interested in. There's a lot of work to be done in the network. In my job so far, I've been told that it's been vacant for about 7 years. It really is a new job in a lot of ways. And so not only is there a lot of work to do to build a network and to build collaborative relationships and to build these sort of processes, there's also having to figure out how to do it. And both of those are pretty big jobs. And so there is a lot of work to be done. I included a Dorothy Day quote in my report because I like Dorothy Day, but also because it's a good line. She says, the work is more important than writing about and talking about the work. And so I've got a lot of work to do, but I'll talk about it for the rest of my report. And thank you very much. I'm leaving a lot of time for questions.
Sorry, Dave's out of the room.
Oh. Okay, go ahead, Chandra.
Thanks, Nathan, for a great report, and the written report is even more enlightening, and I encourage everybody to read it. And also, I hope that you'll be able to implement the recommendations so they're not just words, because what you want to do collaboratively mm-hmm. throughout the network and with the affiliates is very exciting. Mm-hmm. One thing that I find very, very disturbing is the fact that we talk about community radio, we talk about the mission of Pacifica and imbuing it throughout programming, including music as well as public affairs. And yet, I know specifically at KPFA, we have a wonderful apprentice program, and I'm not criticizing the program. I'm just saying that it's of great concern to me, and I'm sorry people are not here, that they don't address the issues of the mission of the foundation. Apprentices at KPFA are not trained. They're not educated. They're not made aware that we have a mission to fulfill and that that should be imbued in new programming. And when new staff comes up in the network at KPFA, they don't understand the historical background that made Pacifica what it is, made KPFA what it is, and the struggles that got us to where we are today. So I encourage that throughout the network, that new programmers that are trained that come up through the ranks within the stations, that this issue be addressed and it be really, really maintained on a regular basis. Thank you.
Certainly the programming policy has a great deal to say about being producing mission-driven programming. I think that's certainly a priority. That particular point may be a good question for KPFA staff.
Myrtle?
Unfortunately, they're not here right now.
Myrtle, go ahead.
Hi, Nathan. Very good report.
Short and sweet.
Short to the point, bullet point like that. You mentioned quite a few things in your report. One of them was the programming vision of the network.
Sure.
You pointed out one, preservation of news, presentation of public affairs, musical preservation, and a musical experience. Programming based on identification. And multilingual services. And then you said several of these visions I've noted above are quite complementary. And you said, however, even if there weren't any mutually exclusive vision above, difficult questions remain. Is there room in our station room, our station schedule to accommodate all this programming vision? Are there resources to support and fund carrying out all these visions? and where might we focus our efforts in programming? So I have many more questions, but obviously I have to be considerate here. Can you elaborate on these the difficulties that are presented here and how you might plan to act on that on the specific task you presented at the end of the report?
Sure. What I was laying out, what you're referring to, the presentation of news, of public affairs, different visions, those are somewhat condensed and I hope not too crudely articulated versions of visions I've kind of seen and observed around the network in my circuit of the stations. I think many of them go together. In fact, there's a lot of overlap in them. We have a Spanish language newscast. Obviously, that involves both news presentation and multilingual programming. But that's just one example. In terms of the questions at the end, I don't have an answer right off. I mean, that's an answer that we have to work on and discuss. How do we prioritize those visions? Is there room for all? Is there funding for all? Are there resources for all? I think the discussions we've had this weekend are a good start for that. When the program directors, the general managers, the national staff got together and started talking about what programming could be, what we would want it to be, I think that's a good place to begin with that, to start to figure out, okay, well, if this is kind of what we're talking about, maybe we can work on how that could become part of answering those questions. And that's my short, broad answer.
Okay, we have total 20 minutes, so we got it. Go ahead. We'll come this way, and we'll get started. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah,
we'll come this way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to ask your view as a program. I was about to say program director. My goodness, program coordinator. Mm-hmm. How your role will relate to the community and to the program directors, especially when you hear presentations like we just heard today by I have his name written down. Exactly. And when you hear that, how do you view your role in terms of, I guess, working with the community, hearing those issues, and then working with the various program directors in the station?
Yeah, delicately and cooperatively. It's quite clear in both my job description and what everyone has been telling me that I'm not a program director. And thank you.
I was about to call you that, but I caught myself.
and with that term coordinator comes very much a talking process and trying to develop a way that will make me and the program directors be able to work together to address real concerns from the communities.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bigger focus of my job is national programming, is network programming. I think in terms of advising and helping out in local station cases where those examples arise, if there's a role for me to play there, that's great. And I think that I can work and talk with people and try and come to a resolution. I don't know that it's, again, this job is sort of being defined as I go along.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's going to be my job to simply, step in every time there's a conflict at a station. I think that would be over the top.
I don't mean necessarily so much in that thing, but he just mentioned various issues, and I know one of the things he talked about was just nationally more programs. So I was just wondering when you hear things like that, what you saw your role in view.
Sure. I mean, certainly there's a new Race and Nationality Producers Collective. Jay Winter Nightwolf is on my list of producers
great.
Who are being
great.
Part of that
great.
Collective.
Great.
Hopefully some really good programming could come out of that group very soon. Okay. And I think that I look forward to working with him personally and also other Native American producers that are coming onto the call.
All right, Don?
Yes, in remarks I made, I think it was yesterday, I referred to the concern this board has had at times over the aging demographics of the Pacifica listenership. I think it's, I hate to say it, because it seems young to me, but I think it's around 55, I think the average, 52, 55 in that deal. I think we're very... we're very lucky to have not only a young person in this position, but also a talented, experienced young person. You're working really.
Come on now.
Pardon me?
Come on now.
Yeah. So, yes, thank you. So, my question is this. We heard my good friend Ambrose Lane approach the issue of youth programming, the choirs and so on. I approached it from the standpoint of maybe a national program that was every month on a regular basis that could be advertised to youth. We both approached the subject in different ways, but it has to do with trying to lower the demographics and to attract young people. So my question really is that something you think is like appropriate in your role as coordinator? You can't impose programming, but when ideas come up of this nature, how do you feel about the use of your position and your role to try to reach out in a more systematic way to youth and to lower that demographic that we're afraid of?
Sure. Well, we've got a few different things when we talk about youth. I mean, we could either talk about teenagers and kids, like junior high kids and elementary school kids, or we could talk about, frankly, in Pacifica, youth can mean people in their 20s and 30s, from what I have come to understand.
To me, that's youth.
I think there's actually a good deal of programming that can be done for the latter without as much difficulty, perhaps. What my impressions, and in conversation with other program directors as well, they share some of these impressions, that the youth in their teens often are using media that is really just for them. It's you know, to have a national special on a day that's aimed at you know, all 16-year-olds, that's 1 hour long amidst, you know, 23 hours of programming that doesn't speak to them, I don't know that we're going to get a lot of tune-ins for that type of approach. That said, I think, you know, there are a lot of, we put out great messages. We have a lot of good things to say. How we do it and finding platforms, formats, and languages that speak to different age demographics is very important. I agree with that. And I think people in their 20s and 30s in particular are going to be, they're getting to a point in their lives when they're getting a lot more thoughtful, perhaps. I mean,
settled.
You know, a lot more settled, yeah. And I don't mean to say anything. I wasn't a teenager that many years ago, so I don't want to say that I was unthoughtful. But you know, certainly as people mature some, they're going to be more receptive to messages and to programming that that sort of actualizes the self.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Evelyn?
On the youth element, you know, if we're talking about national programming, we may think of something that is inclusive of youth and parents. And that way, you know, we're doing an educational teaching piece. We have to be creative in how we engage our young people and not just say they won't keep still long enough. Because it's really important that, because one day they'll be 20, and if we grab them early, then, you know, we've got them. If we wait, somebody else has them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we might want to just kind of keep that in our mind when we're thinking about how to do this and ask teachers to be involved. One of the things that you talked about in some of the groups, that the meetings that you've had, is how to bring more people onto the call, so that we get a wider array and more involvement. And so some of us who are involved have got to kind of reach out and bring some other people into the circle and kind of keep the focus of why we're doing this. Because one of the things that I noticed is that there are a lot of issues that come into play when trying to get to what it's set up for. And my hope is that we won't get bogged down in the policy issues instead of getting to the programming, because some of it is policy. And a lot of what time that we're spending is talking about people's not liking the policy piece. And I'm hoping that you will figure out how to keep us directed on actually getting to the point of putting some national programming together and not getting stuck in whatever sidebar issues there are, because we can't solve all of them in that may not be the place to deal with it. So, you know, that is a concern that I have as being on one of those groups, is that we're gonna kind of stay bogged down in trying to solve something that it's not set up to solve.
Are we talking about the producers collective?
Yes.
It is, you know, specifically called a producers collective, and I am interested in production. And thank you for the comment.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah. Well, welcome. Actually, maybe I'm going back a little bit to some of what I'm assuming Evan was referring to. Maybe you don't know that, but when we were discussing creating the position of national coordinator, some people feel that was not necessary. So I'm assuming I'm asking a difficult question, and I realize that your functioning is working with the executive director, and you're talking about a collaborative style. But how do you see your role as a national coordinator? How do you prioritize issues? How do you see the actual functionment of your task coordinating the local stations to produce that national result?
Not in the group setting, but I think I've talked with a couple board members individually about having a pool of producers at the local stations. I know some already. It's obviously a big process. There's a lot of excellent producers in the network. I've used the phrase embarrassment of riches before to describe the talent that exists in the network. And I think putting together a spreadsheet of producers, a spreadsheet of reporters that are interested and willing and contributing to national programming is a good way to go about that. Talking to the program directors and other programming staff that know their staffs, that know the unpaid and paid staffs at their stations, you know, say, okay, hey, so, you know, program director X, you know, who do you have? Who are the top two or three folks you've got who can really, really know about Iraq? You know, could really produce some good stuff about that. You know, who are the top two or three folks who really know some good stuff about, you know, this other issue, whatever it might be. Having that pool of producers, having that pool of reporters that can then contribute to national segments. And also then, of course, having on that list also people who either have coordinated national specials, whether live or pre-produced, you know, the pre-recorded national specials, and then having that having the list, you know, having people that we can draw from and plan from. I think a corollary to that is having information and checklists and some training documents on how to go about that. Actually, pretty much this year, what I want to do is develop a curriculum, a series of workshops to go around to the stations, spend a week at each one, maybe about a week a month going to different stations, hold some office hours to talk to people, and then also hold some workshops. You know, these are the technical needs, the technical standards for national productions. These are what we expect. These are what other stations expect. These are what's going to get you more listeners, and to do those trainings, to do those workshops. So that's the short version, I guess.
The implied part of my question, I guess, was at the end of that process, how is the decision making actually done? How you come, for example, if there's disagreement, if there are different visions, how do you come to a final product?
Sure.
Where, how do you see that process?
I see that process sort of building on the generosity of cooperation, a cooperative spirit that we've established in the rapport with the program directors and I this weekend. For example, there's a draft national programming calendar for some draft national specials, and it's very much a draft. It was some ideas that a few that have been solicited from different places, and also some that I came up with on my own, sort of plugged into a calendar as well as a number of evergreens. It's not a comprehensive list. What we're going to do is I'll pitch this. I'll solicit more ideas from the program directors, and hopefully they can solicit some from their staffs. We'll get the ideas. I'll sort of update this draft, and then we'll sort of pitch it back to the PDs and say, look, which ones are you most interested in? If we can do, say, two specials a month, which two of these, you know, five ideas, that kind of thing.
Thank you. Dave?
I think we're at time now for this. It's been 25 minutes of a 20-minute report. and the other staff would like to give their reports, what would people like to do?
Mary had a question.
I saw four or five hands, which can't be accommodated in a short period of time. Could I? May I suggest that we go to the other staff reports, and then if we want during the lunch, the dinner, which will be served here, to sit and talk to staff and follow up with whatever we couldn't get done, we can do that. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll go to other staff, and then we'll take that time as possible. Yes, sir.
Since, you know, we're talking about staff report and, you know, national programming and so forth, I see in the listening audience a lot of general managers, program directors. Would it be okay for the chair to be able to recognize people from the floor if they have questions or things they want to bring, so that we have a richer discussion, because we have program directors, general managers here.
Yeah, I'm just concerned. We've had an extensive and rather free-form discussion with the managers. We'll be having more later. Every single staff person that is here has presentation time today, and their time is divided between a brief summary of what was in their written report, followed by questions and answers. So, but if there's something germane to what the person's saying and somebody feels real urgent, let me know, and I think we could just agree to use... I'll use my judgment in that, if that's okay with people.